We turn now in the New Testament for our scripture reading to Paul's letter to the Ephesians, first of all there. In Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to begin to read with verse 17, reading through the end of that chapter. And then our text for this morning is found in 1 Peter chapter 4. So let us hear the word of God from Ephesians 4, verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Now we turn to the first letter of Peter and the fourth chapter, reading this morning for our particular consideration, the verses 3 through 6. For we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lewdness, lusts, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. In regard to these, they think it strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you. They will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this reason, the gospel was preached also to those who are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. Thus far, the reading of God's most holy word. In this passage from Peter, we are given this morning sort of a glimpse into what life was like in the world that Peter was living in the world that the Christians that he was writing to here were living in. And simply what it was is that when you looked at the people around you, out on the street, or in whatever manner you were understanding and seeing this life, what Peter said, that the lifestyle that was lived out there, when the Christians did not participate with them in that lifestyle, the Christians were looked upon, the believers were looked upon as being strange. What's wrong with those people anyway? Because they don't live the way we do. That was the common sort of time of reality. Now, we have been used in many ways, for a number of generations at least, the very opposite. And that the life of the Christian, at least to some extent, has been more or less the norm. And that when those who are completely anti-Christian, that lifestyle is considered to be sort of, why do they want to do those things? They're the strange ones. Well, I would suggest that we have come full circle and we are today back to where Peter was. The normal lifestyle that is out there in our world, that's the norm. You and I, God's people, who do not live that lifestyle, we're the strange ones. We're the ones that the world says, what's wrong with you? And then increasingly, there is pressure from the political world and from, of course, the media and everything you see on TV that you ought to be like this, not your strange view of life that is according to the law of God. The reality is that the world we find ourselves in, it's not new or strange. I often hear people, questions are asked to me, somebody even last Sunday said to me something to the effect, well, when you look around us and we see what's happening, and even particularly not just an immoral lifestyle, but we see the consequences of what is happening to Christians in places like Afghanistan, and this individual suggested that, well, we really must be getting to the end. Those are not anything new. Those have been since the beginning of time. Since the beginning of Adam and Eve's fall into sin, because that is natural to the sinful heart. That's what Peter is addressing this morning. He wants us to see that, in fact, there is a difference, and the difference has real consequences. Ultimately, it has to do with your stand with God. As we read in Ezekiel, as we read by Paul in Ephesians, as now reading again here by 1 Peter, the point that is being made very clearly, that those in the Gentile world, and in this case the word Gentile is not referring to non-Jewish people, it's referring to unbelievers, those who are not God's people, that what is natural to them, what is, if they're listening to their own hearts, they will live a life of debauchery, a lifestyle that is according to the passions of the human heart. Notice even the words that Paul says. And what he calls upon, what Peter refers to, is, okay, you've come. Apparently many of the believers in the church in 1 Peter, or the members in the church, had come from that kind of a pagan lifestyle. He says, now you're in the church, now you need to put that behind you. There is a change that must take place. Paul makes this statement, it's one of the most amazing statements in my opinion, where Paul says, you know, there's a number of instructions about how we ought to live and encouragements. And he says, and you guys who are stealing, stop stealing. People had come from that kind of a background. What is clear is that the difference was noticed in the lifestyle. We do not identify ourselves as being different from others by wearing some sort of particular uniform or clothing or other outward means. We identify ourselves as Peter does, those whose hearts have been enlightened by the truth of the gospel are no longer following the desires of the heart. We look at people from other parts of the world, we look at their dress, and we say, well, they're really different. But those are outward things. Those don't matter at all. The natural inclination of the human heart, fallen through Adam and Eve, is to follow the human passions, even as they are listed. God revealed his truth so that man who has these unbridled passions which come from the human heart would be enlightened, would be informed, would now put them aside and live a life according to the truth revealed unto him. I'm not going to take the time to walk carefully through each of these lifestyles. The debauchery of the human mind and of the human heart can be demonstrated in many different ways. There are going to be things that you will see in certain cultures and certain times that even the most strongest unbeliever will react to and say, well, I don't want to have anything to do with that. But ultimately, all lifestyles, all thinking that is not clearly based upon the Word of God and informed by the Word of God, but is still coming from the human heart, is unbridled passion of sin, unbridled human desires. Now, we can go on and on about how awful these are, and there is, to a certain extent, exhortation here and by Paul in Ephesians about rather than doing these things, these are now the things that we ought to do. But the ultimate difference is not just whether someone gets drunk every other night and goes to orgies, but whether the Word of God is the guide for life. Whether the Word of God has enlightened their hearts. Those who ignore the Word of God in their life. And as I said, it may not be that they are the ones who are going to the drunken parties. But that lifestyle shows up in many different ways. If it is not informed by the Scriptures, it is one of unbridled human passion. And in that sense, I would caution you, we struggle this. We look at our world, we look at our politics, we look at our culture, we look at the lawlessness on the streets and so on, and we say, what's happening in our world? What is happening is that human sin is prevalent, and that's nothing new. One of the biggest issues with respect to the lifestyle of our world today, no one is held accountable. We have all of these sexual predators, and we are forced to deal with them because, well, that's just the way they are. The idea of sexual abstinence for teens before marriage is almost laughable in our world. The biggest issue with respect to homosexuality is that we are to be accepting of people for what they are. I can go on and on. But we need to understand what is happening, because there's a certain amount of truth. They are what they are because they are fallen human nature. And that is the way they will be. Unless the truth of God is proclaimed, is revealed, the gospel of salvation is made known, and their hearts, as Ezekiel says, will be changed from hearts of stone to hearts of flesh. You know, in the political world today, anyone who opposes abortion or homosexuality or any aspect of a godly lifestyle, we are now considered to be the radicals outside of the mainstream. It's exactly what Peter says. We are a surprise to them. It doesn't make sense to them. That's the lifestyle which is natural. But you know, as God's people, we cannot say, well, that's just the way I am. Because as God's people, God has changed us. God's word is effective in the hearts of God's people. There is a difference. And the difference is ultimately not even so much, well, this person does these things in his life, and this person does these things in his life. Really what the difference is that this person is informed by the word of God, is instilled in his heart, and this person is not. That's the difference. In the immediate context, you see, Peter is getting his congregation, so to speak, his audience ready for the fact that not only are they going to be considered strange by the world around them, they are going to suffer the consequences even to the point of being thrown to the lions in the Roman theaters. Maybe a little bit like we hear stories of Christians in Afghanistan. If you young people today, or of any age that for that matter, think it is embarrassing and uncomfortable when you do not go along with the crowd, when you do not use the language everyone else is using, when you stand up against a lifestyle that is sinful, just think what it'd be like to not just be embarrassed, but your life be on the line to stand up for the truth. The ultimate result for us today may not be that drastic, although in some places it is. We've learned about that. But the world certainly does judge us. It considers that we do not really know how to live. But what Peter makes it clear is that they will be held accountable. They and us will be judged. If not in this life, they get by with it all of their life long, they will be held accountable, standing before the righteous judge. And there the difference will be important. Yes, you and I will be judged, but our judgment will be we stand before you, God, under the covering of the blood of Christ. Not so much see what I've done or what I've not done. Certainly that's important. It's evident in the lives of God's people. But again, be careful to understand it's not that believers don't sin and therefore have nothing to be judged for. We need to even be very careful when we talk about all of this awful, immoral stuff that goes on in our world. If it weren't for the grace of God, it weren't for the power of the Word of God, it weren't for the Spirit of God working in our hearts, there would go we. And all too often, because we do not avail ourselves enough to the Word of God, all too much we still go there. So what is important here is not the judgment which comes from the world. What others say to you because you're strange, that really is not important. What ultimately, even if I may say so, happens to the Christians in Afghanistan is not ultimately important. It is their stand before God covered by the blood of Jesus because they have heard the gospel. It is not easy. We do not like to stick out like a sore thumb in our world, but you can no longer live like everyone around you because you are enlightened, not by the desire of the heart, by the truth of God. For most of us, that enlightenment has taken place all of our life long. And yet, we need to be so careful. It is so easy to look at philosophies and ideas out there in the world and to say, well, that sounds pretty good. We ought to live that way. Is it guided by the Word of God? But certainly those who have come from debauched minds. And so Peter ultimately says the importance of understanding how that happens. For this reason, the gospel was preached also to those who are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the spirit. The difference, the real ultimate difference, are you alive in Christ? But here's the really neat thing. Please don't miss this. For this reason, because of the debauched evil mind in the world out there, Peter says, for this reason, the gospel was preached also to those who are dead in their sin, because the gospel can take that heart of flesh, of stone, that follows unbridled human passions and change it into a heart of flesh, one that lives obediently before God. Does how we live before God make it important? Absolutely it is. Does it show a difference in our lives? Absolutely it does. But remember that the ultimate difference is not what you and I have accomplished, not what you and I have gained and say, well, I didn't live like those people. I didn't live like the world. I even got ridiculed. I even took a lot of suffering for it, but I stood on my ground. No, it is God who did the work. It is God, through the Holy Spirit, who brought you to new life and who brings the most vilest, the most unbridled, sinful lifestyle out there that we, the church, can preach the gospel to, so that they might then in turn be ridiculed by this world but stand where it really makes a difference. Live according to God in the Spirit. That's the gospel of salvation. There is a difference. Not outwardly, but was the gospel fruitless? Because there is a life beyond here. You see, that's a real struggle. It is a struggle that the church there would face. It's a struggle that you and I have not really had to face in a very drastic way. We've seen it on TV in different places and so on. But when someone who comes from a sinful background, who lives this unbridled life and hears the gospel, just think about what that would be like in a world like Afghanistan, where you put your life on the line when you say yes to Jesus. And they've heard the gospel and they've responded to the gospel. And then they end up being killed for it. And they say, well, what happened? Peter says, ultimately, that's not really the important thing. That's not really the difference. That just because you said yes to Jesus, you're not now going to have a life that you won't have to suffer for. You might have to suffer more, but you will stand before God because you've heard the gospel. And the accounting that really matters is that you can say, I've been enlightened by the truth of God with Jesus, my Savior. No, we do not stand out by certain outward appearances or connection to a certain piece of real estate. But the clothing that you must wear, which does make a real difference, is that of the righteousness of Christ. Have you been enlightened to the truth of God? You know Jesus as your Savior? I trust so, but I call upon you to hear that gospel of salvation. And to be hungry to hear more. Because as we go through life as believers who have set aside the old sinful ways, we are yet daily struggling with the sin of our own hearts and the world around us, and we need continuous growth and work through the Word of God, the message of the gospel, in our hearts, that we might put away the darkness of the flesh and live in the Spirit. Let us pray. Our God and Father, we thank you. It is easy to say that we are glad that we are not like those others. But we are, because we understand that you have called us out of this darkness into your marvelous light, and we are grateful. Help us to show that in our lives, to put away the dissipation which is prevalent in our own hearts. And help us, Lord, to know and to stand firm in the life that is now ours through the gospel of salvation in Jesus Christ. Help us to, even as we would pray the prayer together that our Lord has taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread.